Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, I'll tell you, in this game, the Patriots made a bad team look worse, and that's what you want a great team to do.
Yeah, and the Patriots have been playing gradually better at the end of the year. As this season has gone on, it so stands in contrast to last year when they sort of stumbled in down the stretch, which was atypical. Normally, Belichick's teams get better, and you're seeing that. That's exactly what you want to see heading into the postseason.
And Malcolm Butler, you know, I think he was a little bit of a Pro Bowl snub.
Me too.
And he took that out on the Jets by coming out and making plays, single-handedly becoming a turnover machine.
Yeah, I think the Patriots, you know, the Jets have been playing like this for a while.
The Jets stink.
I consider their last breath was the Patriots game.
What did I tell you last week? They were a gangrene gift-wrapped present for you. It was just, boom, there for
terrible.
The take.
Haven't you learned Andy's always right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. But the Patriots, to Paul's point, they have been playing really consistently well in all three phases of the game. And, you know, this is the way we wanted last year to end up, but we've got it this year. They've got some momentum. Then the question is, how do they handle this? Do they try to keep the momentum by playing all their, you know, I don't want to say starters, but key players in this game against Miami?
If you believe him.
I think that's going to be the tough decision. I mean, he certainly talks about, Bill talks about, you know, not knowing how, you know, there's no way to knowing when the play is going to happen, that someone gets hurt, and, you know, it's a math issue. You can't sit them all.
Yeah, but I think that's a little disingenuous.
A little.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Of course it is.
We're obviously talking about guys who might need some rest, who are key players, like Dante Hightower last week.
Right.
He said off air that, you know, perhaps if that was a playoff game, he would have played.
I think he definitely would have. And those are the things you can manage, but I don't think they're going to manage it as much as maybe some fans would like. First of all, track record says when they have the bye, they don't rest guys as much because they believe that that's too long a window. If you start resting guys then they have another week off. Now it's rust, right? And also, Brady, if you believe him, he started talking about it post-game Jets and revealed they were talking about it on the plane back from Denver, that finish strong. We have to finish this year. Pedal to the metal, sort of all these terms. I kind of believe them. Now, the flip side is Miami is in the postseason, and they're on wild card weekend, so they're going to play right away. How does Miami handle it with some of their key players and trying to make sure they are rested because they don't have a week off coming?
And Adam Gase, you know,
no track record.
He's talked about he wants to play this game legit. He wants his team to go up against the Patriots. He thinks it's important to compete against New England, much like Tom Coughlin did way back in 2007 when he felt that was an important game for his team. And he treated it very seriously at the end of the regular season.
How good did it do them? Oh, wait.
What happened at the end of that year? Never mind.
Well, we'll see how they handle this week coming up with Miami. But one of the things I loved about the Jets was they were firing on all cylinders. I mean, Josh McDaniels was using everybody out there. You know, you saw White drop a pass, but they went right back to him in the end zone. He made a nice over-the-shoulder catch. Bennett got more involved a little bit down the field, which we're all waiting to see. I think the O-line played really well against, let's face it, a pretty good front for the Jets. They like to get at people. So I liked what I saw. I don't know if there are any things that stood out for you guys in that game.
On the other side, and Andy touched on it with Butler, I just the turnovers. And this is now a trend. They went that stretch where they went three games in a row, first time Belichick has ever gone that many games without forcing one turnover. Now they're forcing multiple turnovers, it seems, every game. Three more against the Jets. Malcolm Butler, to me, has played at a different level in the second half of the season. I didn't think he was bad in the first half. I mean, he was starting at a pretty high level to begin with. I think that has made that whole group, Eric Rowe, terrific pick for him down the sideline. So that ability to take the ball away, I think, has made the defense even more scary.
What I think is kind of funny is that, you know, before the Pro Bowl and after the votes come out, everyone's like, hey, you know, it's okay. Doesn't really matter if I made it. You know, the guys that made it. And then one of McCourty's teammates, McCourty says, you know, he showed them. He went out there and showed them that he was, well, which means that you know they were talking about
it. They care. They do care. It's bragging rights, whatever you want to call it. But I think it was a little bit of motivation for Butler. But it's all the guys again. Yeah. You know, you mentioned it. You know, in the backfield again, Deion Lewis is getting a bunch of carries. LeGarrette Blount's getting a couple touchdowns. They're splitting those up. They're doing more of the I formation with Deion Lewis behind James Devlin.
Yeah.
They're rotating the receivers, so it's not just Edelman catching every pass.
I think over the last 3 weeks, I would say, they've given a lot for defensive coordinators to look at and tape.
Well, I would say both sides. Yeah. I think offensive coordinators, too. I think, you know, the Butler fumble. How did he recover the fumble? Great play by Alandon Roberts, but why did Butler recover it? Because he was on a cornerback blitz, and he's running in untouched. The ball's there. Boom, right place, right time. And that's what happens. You know, we always talk about, you know, get a lot of hats to the football. Stuff happens. You know, good when you're aggressive and you have guys around the football, stuff happens.
Yeah. And I love when Andy turns into a high school football
coach. Well, it's true. The swarming defense is something we've been talking about lately that we weren't talking about early.
And Alan Branch, I continue to say, every single game for, at some point early is in the backfield for a tackle for a loss or, you know, a sack or something this week. And Bill Belichick, very praiseful, saying he's clearly been our best defensive tackle. And to me, he's been sort of the heart of that run defense early in games. He sort of sets a tone and says, you're not going to run all over us. And they had a little bit of success. They gashed him a couple times with Powell, got to the second level. But again, for the most part, this is a Patriots run defense that you're not going to run it down our throats. You're not going to run it and win the game just running.
And we haven't really even talked about Tom Brady here. I mean, Brady, despite the numbers, you know,
he got pulled in the third quarter.
He had three touchdowns, but, you know, his yardage was, you know, mediocre for him in terms of
the number of yards. It would have been fine.
And they're putting up all those numbers, you know, without that.
And he did it again with, at times, his legs. That little run around this way and then back to Edelman over
great.
The middle.
Yeah.
He continues to show that if it's not a hellacious pressure, his mobility can be an asset to keep the offense rolling and make sure he's not just a statue back there.
Right.
And he did it again.
Yeah.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Fisher Plows. A whole new way to attack winter. And also brought to you in part by AT&T. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
This week's From the Heart, we look in the trenches once again, sort of. We look at the Patriots' run defense, led by Alan Branch, Dante Hightower, hopefully, if he can return. The Patriots run defense now number 3 in the National Football League, and they're going against Jay Ajayi, coming off another 200-yard game. 3 200-yard games this season, 1,200 yards on the year, 5 yards a carry, one of the best backs in the league, breakout star. But don't just take my word for it. Here's what Bill Belichick had to say.
They've had some big runs from Ajayi, and they have a lot of explosive players offensively, so that's the mark of a good team. Having good players in all areas and taking the plays when they count.
So, according to Bill Belichick, the challenge is simple. There's an elite running back on the other side of the ball, the core of the Miami offense. Patriots defense, stop him.
Last year, the Patriots closed out the season down in Miami looking to lock down the number one seed, and they did so trying to run the football. It didn't go well, but this year, they're much more equipped to do so for a couple of reasons. First, Miami is terrible against the run. 30th overall, they allow almost 5 yards per carry. Every time the other team runs the football, they get almost 5 yards. So this is a situation I think the Patriots can go with a similar game plan if they want to. They have LeGarrette Blount, who's had a terrific season, career high in carries, yards, and touchdowns, franchise record in touchdowns, and they also have Deion Lewis running in more traditional running sets, behind a fullback, I formation, multiple tight ends. So the Patriots can go at this any way they want, and it will go much better than it did a year ago.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Trash talk this week. The AFC playoff teams are set. There are 3 pretenders, 1 clear favorite, and 2 others. Paul, of those 2, who do you fear the most?
Can I say none of the above?
No.
In terms of fear?
That'd be a terrible
Because I don't fear anybody. But
Respect
out of those 2
all,
teams,
fear
I'm going to go on the limb and say you're talking about Pittsburgh and Kansas City.
Yeah, you get me.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with Kansas City in this for a different reason. I think Kansas City is one of those teams that makes you earn everything you get. I don't think they beat themselves very often. They're pretty fundamentally sound. They're well coached, although I think Andy Reid has some problems managing the clock. I think in general,
he finishes strong. You talk about Tom Brady talking about finishing. Andy Reid knows how to finish.
In general, they're a pretty well coached team, and I think that they will make you earn what you get. They're not going to go out and turn the ball over four times and make it easy for you. And I think that is, in this case, I think the Patriots are the favorite against everybody. That's the team I'd least rather face.
I don't think good enough is going to beat the Patriots this year. I think you're going to have to just start slugging it out to beat the Patriots. And that's why I think it's Big Ben and the Steelers, even though they really haven't done that all that often this year.
That's why I don't fear them.
They are a theoretical great offense with Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown. Three of the best single pieces in the NFL. But for some reason, even in the winning against the Ravens, they had 10 points, and then all of a sudden, boom, 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 the game's on the line. This is what we want to see. My fear is if you see that fourth quarter Steelers team for four quarters.
The idea of the Steelers has been much better than the actual product of what we've seen all year. I have a lot of respect for Roethlisberger in the way that they play offense and the ability that they have. They just haven't done it consistently enough. Kansas City, on the other hand, no one really respects them. They're sort of this mundane team. Alex Smith is a game manager type. He doesn't force the ball downfield and make a lot of big plays. I do like the ability that Tyreek Hill gives them, a guy that they didn't have a year ago. He's not exactly my favorite guy in the league for different reasons, but he can make plays, and he has made a real impact on that offense, giving him some big play ability. Kelsey is another big play guy. And I think you have just enough with a guy like Macklin that you could actually find a way to score some points. And if they do that, I think it could be one of those really tough games against the Chiefs, again, when they're not going to beat themselves. Pittsburgh might beat itself.
They might. Or the Chiefs could beat themselves by, you know, being down two scores in the fourth quarter and not realizing you have to score twice. Because Andy Reid and Alex Smith are not winners. I'm sorry. They're winners in the regular season. They give themselves a chance. But when the season is on the line, when has either of those two guys proven, boom, we can finish, we can get the job done?
Yeah, I'll give the Chiefs one last thing, and that's the way they can take the ball away. I think they've done it better than anybody in the league, taking the football away. And the Patriots are generally very good at protecting it, but all it takes is one bad day. But again, look what we're talking about. If the Patriots don't play well, if the Patriots have an off day, somebody might be able to knock them off. I think this is their conference. It's all there for them. It's theirs to lose.
See you in Houston.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by Nissan.
Super Bowl hangovers are not uncommon in the NFL. Teams that make the big game often follow a disappointing season, but it's been 13 years since both teams that were in the Super Bowl followed up with not making the playoffs at all. The Broncos and Panthers did just that. Last year, the Broncos' defense and running game carried them to a championship despite Peyton Manning throwing almost two interceptions a game. This year, despite getting better production out of the quarterback position, running back C.J. Anderson got hurt, their offensive line played poorly. By the end of the Patriots game this month, the defense was taking swipes at the offense. Denver was still a good team in 2016, but a vastly improved AFC West barred the playoff door. The Panthers were an entirely different story. Cam Newton has all the physical ability to be the best football player on earth, but his pride and ego has kept him from being that and his team from achieving their ultimate goal. His act is sometimes suited more for Broadway than it is for the gridiron. Dim the house lights and spotlight on for a solo, but that's not how football games are won. He is the unquestioned leader of the team, but this year his team followed his lead and are 6-9 with a game to go. The Panthers and Broncos failed to return to the playoffs for very different reasons, but both showed how hard it is to sustain greatness in the NFL.
Players Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
This week we're joined by Patriots tackle Marcus Cannon. And Marcus, it's really hard to talk about you guys and the offensive line in general and the running game without bringing up the leader, and that's Dante Scarnecchia. Just how rewarding is it to have him back?
It's great. Taking all his coaching and his teaching, and it's awesome. We got a lot of guys that want to work hard every day, and, you know, we're a very tight-knit group.
You know, and last year you guys finished the year down in Miami, and the goal was to try to run the ball a lot, and obviously it wasn't as productive as you thought. How exciting is it that this year, if they want to do something like that, you guys have been running the ball great all year. The offensive line has been, you know, a pretty cohesive unit. How excited are you for the same kind of an opportunity if it arises?
Well, you know, this is a very veteran D-line that we're going against. There's a lot of experience with us, and, you know, they've played very well together in the later half of the season. You know, they've been playing great, and, you know, it's going to be a challenge. This isn't the same guys that we've seen in the earlier in the season. You know, they're working a lot better together. They're moving better. They're, you know, it's going to be a task that we're going to have to see on Sunday.
Now, in true Patriot fashion, you talked about how well the other guys have been playing, but you guys have been playing great too, and you have been a pretty cohesive unit and having the same guy, I think, I want to say 10 games in a row, same five guys out there. Just how much easier does that make life for you guys?
You know, every game is still as hard as the last game. You know, we got to work together hard with each other this time, this game, and, you know, we got to do the best we can to overcome this team that we're about to play.
You have a chance to head down to Miami. I know it's a business trip, even though it's New Year's. But, you know, any ideas, any early ideas for you personally, you know, for New Year's resolutions? You get a nice big contract. I know that makes things a little bit easier. But any ideas for some New Year's resolutions?
We'll worry about that after we get down with the playing the Dolphins.
Well, you know, number one seed could be a good New Year's resolution, right?
Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, it's time to take a look at the questions that you sent to PFW, but first, the Wilson Heart Power Index.
Freddie. The divide is growing between the Patriots and the rest of the league. Patriots number one.
16 years, but you won't believe
it. Index number is 3.1. Dallas Cowboys number two, right?
Yeah.
7 is their index number. The Cowboys are as close to the 8th ranked Seahawks as they are the New England Patriots. That's a dominant performance by your Patriots, Fred.
I think fans are all wondering, the real question is, where are the Minnesota Vikings this week?
Minnesota Vikings, Paul Perillo, are, they're number 10.
Yeah.
And interestingly, if you care about these things,
early season numbers.
It's my index. Let me talk. 25th ranked Houston Texans.
Yeah, I have no problem with you taking credit for that index.
No, nor do I.
All right, let's get to some of the questions you sent. This first one comes from Dylan Damewood. He says, hello from California.
Hello.
What can the Patriots do better to not only make it easier to get to the Super Bowl, but to win it all?
Well, I have one, Paul. I know we're talking about a lot of good things. Stop fumbling so much. It concerns me that they lead the NFL in fumbles, and, you know, they continue to get them. Brady had another one this week where he reaches out of the pile and pulls it in. But a team in the playoffs, the Kansas City Chiefs, leads the NFL in takeaways, including fumble recovery. So if you were trying to paint some, you know, horror of the way the Patriots could lose, putting it on the ground is bad.
Yeah, I mean, just a specific thing, I would say running the ball a little bit better than they have in the last couple of weeks. I think the average per carry has been down a little bit. In this past game, I thought they struggled stopping the run at times. But for the most part, I think all of these things, as we touched on early in the show, have been pretty good, especially lately.
Yep. Doug Summers says, with over 1,000 yards and the new team record for rushing touchdowns in a season, do you think LeGarrette Blount has earned a multi-year deal with the number one job in New England?
I know I'm probably the biggest Blount detractor, certainly on this show, but maybe in all of New England. I wouldn't give a what's he, 30 years old at this point,
yep.
Career high in carries and yards. I'd let it be a career year. If he wants to be back, you can get a 1 or maybe a 2-year deal, low money.
Yeah.
I'll take it, but I don't want to get tied to him long-term. Any multi-year deal, I would definitely
give him 1 year and another with an option
or
something
like that. Yeah, give him some
incentives. Yeah, I'd be very careful. And another thing is, when he re-signed this year, the contract included stipulations because of the hip injury that landed him on IR last year. So he already has an injury that's an issue in terms of negotiations. And Paul's right. More carries, a year older. He's over 30, and we know when you're over 30 in the NFL and play running back,
it can go quickly.
Jeremy Lucas says, I was watching a replay of Matt Lengel's TD, and it almost felt like it was Rob Gronkowski with his size and all. I wonder if we may see more of the Gronk impersonation, and why not? The guy has all the physical attributes.
Is this a setup?
No, this is a
Andy,
question.
I know it's my turn, but I'm leaving this one for
this
you.
This is a question from Jeremy Lucas, and you're about to get jumped all over.
Bill Parcells, that's a dumbass question. Or Bryce Harper, that's a clown question, bro. He looked like Rob Gronkowski? How? Oh, what way?
He caught a touchdown.
That doesn't make you look like Gronk. I didn't see a Gronk spike. I didn't see this running through people to make it happen.
Okay, so what you're saying is,
you know what he can be? You know what he can be? And I said this to Paul, based on his length. He is 6 foot six. What Scott Chandler was supposed to be. Remember all the catch radius talk of Scott Chandler? Maybe he can be something like that, which there's nothing wrong with that. But saying because he caught his first career pass and his first career touchdown that he's suddenly the greatest tight end in the history of the game,
he
compared him to Gronk.
Gronk
is the greatest tight end in the history of the game.
Yeah.
A equals B.
Fred writes in, Fred Larson, is there any reason why Bill Belichick passed up on drafting running back Jay Ajayi in the late rounds?
Yeah, a lot of other teams did, too. He was a fifth-round pick. I think that they had a lot of good fourth-round picks that year. That was 2 years ago, and they had that was the year they got Shaq Mason and Trey Jackson and Trey Flowers. They had three fourth-round picks. That's around the area that you would have been taking a guy like Jay Ajayi. I don't have any problem with it. Fifth-round pick, I don't think anybody envisioned him racking up three 200-yard games in a season.
And a ton of running backs go in that area.
Absolutely.
And every year or every few years, one of them is great. But there's also the other 15 or 20 that are just long forgotten and out of the
David Johnson, league. Same draft, was a third-round pick.
Right.
A lot of teams passed on him a couple of times, too.
Yeah. All right, that's this week's questions. But every week, send them to AskPFW at Patriots.com.